Embrace the Word for Wednesday, April 15, 2026. Embracing Psalm 50. Psalm 50 expresses the gravity of a court case. The Lord has issued a judgment against His people. Psalm 50 is a first, a psalm of Asaph. Asaph was one of the men that David placed over the service of songs after the ark was brought into Jerusalem. See 1 Chronicles 6:31. In fact, Asaph is referred to as the chief of musicians. See 1 Chronicles 16:5. Additional psalms attributed to Asaph will emerge in Book 3 of the Psalter. Psalm 50 shares links with some of the preceding psalms. Two of the links are found between Psalm 50 and Psalm 49. Psalm 49 references the days of trouble, 49:5, which mirrors the day of trouble, 50:15, in Psalm 50. By way of contrast, Psalm 49 summons all the earth. Hear this, all peoples. Give ear, all inhabitants of the world. 49:1. But Psalm 50 summons the Lord's people. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, I will testify against you. I am God, your God. 50:7. Psalm 50 opens with a terrifying announcement that the Lord comes to judge. 50:1-6. Then the main segment of the psalm issues the indictments. 50:7-21. Before wrapping up with some closing statements. 50:22-23. Psalm 50 begins with a description of the Lord, the Mighty One. God the Lord speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. 50:1. Asaph stacks up words to convey the power and authority of God to summon all the earth to himself. People everywhere are summoned to Jerusalem. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth. 52. The reason for the summons is the solemn occasion to witness the charges the Lord has against his people. Our God comes. He does not keep silent. Before him is a devouring fire. Around him, a mighty tempest. He calls to the heavens above and to the earth, that he may judge his people. 50:3-4. With the terrifying imagery of a devouring fire and a mighty tempest, reminiscent of Israel at Mount Sinai, see Exodus 19-24, the Lord has come to judge his people. Gather to me my faithful ones, who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. 50:5. The Lord had summoned heaven and earth to witness the covenant that he had entered into with Israel, see Deuteronomy 4:26. And now, as Israel is to appear before the Lord, the heavens and earth will witness the testimony of their covenant unfaithfulness. The heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is judge. Selah. 50:6. The Lord, the righteous judge, will sit on the bench, and the people he indicts are my faithful ones. 50:5. That is, ones upon whom he has placed his steadfast love. The main section of Psalm 50 states the nature of the indictments against the Lord's people. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, I will testify against you. I am God, your God. 50:7. The Lord himself would testify against his people. Israel, under the old covenant arrangements, required a worship that was heavily oriented around the offering of sacrifices. On the one hand, the Lord's indictment was not against the offering of sacrifices per se. Israel offered plenty. Not for your sacrifices do I rebuke you. Your burnt offerings are continually before me. 50:8. But there was a serious flaw in their offering of sacrifices. I will not accept a bull from your house or goats from your folds. 59. The Lord explains the problem with their sacrifices. First, the Israelites had failed to appreciate who really provided the sacrifices that they were offering. "For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know all the birds of the hills, and all that moves in the field is mine." 50:10-11. Every animal that Israel offered to the Lord was already the Lord's. While the Lord prefers obedience over sacrifice, see Psalm 40:6-8, the sacrifices were the Lord's gracious provision for failure to obey. The offering of the sacrifices pointed to their need to satisfy the justice of God because of their sin. But in offering their sacrifices, the Israelites began to wrongly think that they were giving something to the Lord. Actually, they were only using something that was already the Lord's. The second problem that the Lord had with Israel's sacrifices was their notion that they were meeting God's needs. "If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world and its fullness are mine. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats?" 50:12-13. The Lord has no need. He is truly self-sufficient. The Lord was not dependent upon sacrifices to meet his needs. The sacrifices were a gracious provision for Israel's need for pardon. The Lord directed his people to offer their sacrifices with an entirely different frame of mind. "Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Most High." 50:14. The Lord does expect his people to offer every sacrifice that they have vowed to make. But most importantly, the Lord is pleased to receive sacrifices with thankful hearts. Thankful for the provision of the animal to which they sacrifice, and thankful that the sacrifice is meeting a vital need that they have, not one that the Lord has. In addition to being thankful, the Lord also wanted his people to offer their sacrifices out of a heart that recognizes its dependence upon the Lord and desire to glorify him. "And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me." 50:15. Sacrifices were never intended to be performed in order to put God in debt to the worshiper. It's just the opposite. As the worshiper has depended upon the Lord and seen the Lord's faithful hand of rescue, the worshiper is in debt to the Lord. The grateful offer of sacrifices to the Lord is to give honor to the Lord. Israel offered sacrifices from a wrong perspective, presumptively thinking that they were providing the Lord something he needed. Israel also displeased the Lord in how they continued in their wickedness while they offered their sacrifices. But to the wicked, God says, "What right have you to recite my statutes or take my covenant on your lips? For you hate discipline, and you cast my words behind you." 50:16-17. The Lord's people were outwardly religious, but inwardly they were wicked. They would recite God's law, all the while rejecting God's law. The examples that the Lord provides concerning the wickedness of his people touch on several of the Ten Commandments. "If you see a thief, you are pleased with him, and you keep company with adulterers. You give your mouth free rein for evil, and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son." 50:18-20. They cozied up to Eighth Commandment breakers. 50:18. Hobnobbed with Seventh Commandment breakers. 50:18, and became proficient in being Ninth Commandment breakers. 50:19-20. At the root of their opposite commitments to worship God and break his commandments was the assumption that their sin was no big deal. These things, but it was no big deal to them, and they therefore assumed it was no big deal to the Lord. These things you have done, and I have been silent. You thought that I was like one like yourself. 50:21. The Lord's people misinterpreted God's long-suffering patience for his acceptance of their sin. But they miscalculated. The Lord is not at all like them. So the Lord broke his silence. But now I rebuke you and lay the charge before you. 50:21. Their sin has not escaped the Lord's awareness. Their guilt was evident, and their judgment would be inescapable. The Lord closes his case with an appeal for them to repent. Mark this, then, you who forget God, lest I tear you apart, and there be none to deliver. 50:22. Mark this signifies the Lord's people were to seriously take this matter to heart. The core of their indictment was that they forgot God. What a charge! The very people who continued bringing ample sacrifices did not actually know the God to whom they thought they were worshiping. A stern warning is issued. The Lord would tear them apart, and there is no escape. No escape, that is, without repentance. The one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me. To the one who orders his way rightly, I will show the salvation of God. 50:23. The Lord wraps up his case against his people. He shows a way forward. They were to repent from their wrong perspectives leading up to their sacrifices, and repent from their wrong presumptions following their sacrifices. True worship is done from a heart filled with thankfulness, a heart that desires for the Lord to be glorified, not only in a proper mindset leading up to the offering, the sacrifice, but also through how life is lived after the sacrifice is offered. The promise to such a worshiper is that they will see the saving work of God. As we reflect on Psalm 50, we should consider the charge that the writer of Hebrews gives. Let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. See Hebrews 13:15. The writer of Hebrews seems to echo the language of Psalm 50 when it speaks of offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving, 50:14, and the one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me, 50:23. Truly grasping who Jesus is and what he has done is a must if we are to get worship right. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. See Hebrews 13:12. We do not provide anything to the Lord except our sin. He does it all. And what he does not only pardons us from our sin, but sanctifies or sets us apart from our sin. Our pardon does not give us permission to continue to sin, but supplies us power to resist sin. See Romans 6. When the saving work of Christ is grasped, thankfulness is a must. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a praise of sacrifice to God, that is, the fruit of our lips that acknowledge his name. See Hebrews 13:15. Anyone who does not grasp the significance of Jesus' saving work, but nevertheless still think of themselves as Christian, will one day face a very sober rebuke. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. On that day many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. See Matthew 7:21-23. That's all for Embrace the Word for Wednesday, April 15, 2026. I look forward to being back with you for the Friday, April 17, 2026 episode of Embrace the Word as we take a look at Psalm 51.